Winter, 2006. Three young journalists en route to a conference in Montego suffer a shipwreck. They awake on the shores of a mysterious isle deep in the Caribbean. Broadcasting from an abandoned Jamaican army base, the trio continues to unravel the secrets of newsworthy Ghost Island.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Newsworthy Ghost Island.
Hello there!
This is David Brunel Brutman.
This is David Reinstrom.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion. I am your ghost. Your ghost host. Our tour begins here in this gallery. Here where you see pictures of our guests as they appeared in their corruptible mortal states. Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now.
And that's Alex Jensen.
Oh my gosh, guys.
I think
I was just possessed.
By the ghost of Disney's
Disney.
Haunted mansion?
Past, yes.
There past. Goes.
I
right.
think
there
so.
Goes. Oh wait, is it the mansion itself or is it Walt?
You were possessed by a house.
Oh, I thought it was Walt Disney. There he goes, smoking a cigar and hating Jews.
Oh, I feel all tingly. I feel all tingly inside.
Oh, wow.
And special.
Ever been possessed by a house? I thought ghosts possessed houses. I didn't think houses possessed living people.
You'd be surprised, David.
Mm.
You'd be surprised.
Anyway, welcome to our show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, good to have you here. Or listening to us. A little update on the pledge drive. The pledges were rolling in like,
yes.
like round things that rotate on the ground.
Like
wheels
bowling balls.
Or marbles.
Like bowling balls yes. rolled down a skyscraper.
That's more of just sort of a vertical drop. But it's a fitting analogy anyhow.
What I'm saying is that the pledge drive was like us standing at the top of a skyscraper with a bowling ball, and there's a guy down there, and we don't like this. It's Hitler. Hitler is down there, and we're like, shook.
That means he dropped it.
I guess what I'm saying is the pledge drive was
like
dropping
bowling
balls
on
Hitler from the top of a skyscraper. That is what a pledge drive was like.
And that is how effective it was.
So
thank
yeah,
you very much
We've got
for your
a lot
support.
Of pledges. It's great. Unfortunately,
no
we
one
still
has
have
come
no
through.
Location.
Yes.
So we've got a lot of pledges to be rescued. But
yes.
Until we can triangulate our coordinates, we're
not in a good way.
We're stuck.
Yep.
But, I mean, it was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good... So we're going to start with a little bit of music.
All right.
Sounds
music from
good.
Us, as is our wont. And then we're going to come back and read some listener mail. So, our first track of the day is by The Cat Empire. They are Australian, and this song is called Hello, Hello.
Some thoughts in my head that were making me feel high. On my head was a hoodie, in my ears was some bass. I was walking by my dog when I saw that sexy face come towards me. With a little cheeky smile, if she was a phone, I'd pick her up and dial the fire brigade. Oh, 000, she stole me my tracks. I said, I'm hello, hello. Oh, hello, hello. Sleeping in the sand with some dreams in my head that were causing an extension to the towel and my bed. And the waves were rolling up the curves on those legs like a sweet beach pillow with a centerfold spread. In the midst of the slumber, heard some footsteps are creeping and I woke to discover the woman I've been dreaming. She knelt down beside, said, can I share your pillow? I rolled over and I said, well, hello, hello. Some like cars and some like the houses with the rooftop spires. And some like the gossip about some rich sugar daddies. But me and my friends, we like the golden brown hatties. And some like watching people living on TV. That's a little strange, if you're asking me. Cause I like to eat and laugh and play. And all these are the things I know. Well, hello, hello. Oh, hello, hello. Ah, hello, hello. Thank you. hello, hello. Ah, hello, hello. Pablo, Pablo. Oh, hello, hello. Oh, hello, hello. Ah, oh, hello, hello. Oh, hello, hello.
Wow, hello. that was really hello. Fun. Thank you for that selection, David.
Yes, I'm a fan.
Yes, indeed.
And now we have some reader mail for
Ooh,
you.
Ooh, reader mail.
We got a whole lot of reader mail.
So exciting.
Okay. Alex, why don't you go first? We found this in a barrel.
Yeah, this is a very interesting
ashore.
Letter.
It is from...
My father.
Alex's dad. Hello.
All right, so here we are. Dear Alex... I heard through the Jamaican grapevine you are missing your tiara and C-3PO pen. I have enclosed a new tiara, just as good as your prom queen tiara. As far as the C-3PO pen goes, sorry, but I got $12 for it on eBay. However, I have also enclosed another pen of equal quality. The Jar Jar Binks pen did not meet our reserve on eBay. I don't know why. I thought his character added so much to the Star Wars story. I hope you are found soon. But until you are, can we get a cash credit for the WashU food program you aren't using? They haven't paid us the full amount for your car yet, and I owe for the new hot tub. Love, Dad.
This is very interesting because we found this in a barrel because
yes.
Obviously...
I do, in fact, have the items here.
Do they talk? Does Jar Jar talk?
It does not talk, which is fairly disappointing because the whole idea was...
I'm not disappointed.
Look at our stereotype.
Thank you for that, David.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, a revelation. This is not a pen. It is a marker.
Is it a marker?
It is a marker. What color is this?
Oh, man.
It's brown.
We can draw on
this is really disappointing.
Stuff.
I have no comment.
Number one, who wants a brown mark? Okay. I don't.
Listen, your dad sent it. At least, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Don't look a
Well,
a
I
gift,
guess I'm just bitter
a gift
because
barrel in
maybe
the
it's a Jar Jar Binks
could,
marker.
That, and also...
Honestly, I mean... You know, it, just the fact that just it being able to draw on things without, I don't know,
being loud,
destroying them entirely,
falling over itself and saying something in some sort of contrived slave pigeon that makes me angry.
I feel like that is an accomplishment in and of itself.
No, I'm grateful.
Oh, look at how... Oh, wow, it's just like new minstrelsy in the 21st century.
Me so ruin a movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess I'm just bitter that my family, you know, they're thoughtful enough to send me, you know, this 50-cent Happy New Year tiara that
yes.
I'm holding in my hand currently, and they're not willing to.
But I just like to point out that it was very ingenious, Alex, on the part of your father, to have thrown it into a barrel and hurled it
right.
into the sea.
Dad, how'd you do that?
Because we
write
have
me back.
No address, so
let
I'm
me know.
I'm very so maybe if somebody wants to throw themselves into a barrel, Bilbo Baggins style.
With like a jetpack
yeah, but then how would,
or something?
How would we fit in the barrel?
With more barrels.
No. See, he brings
the
jetpack.
Those expandable capsule cars.
Oh yeah,
a lot of
yeah.
Really
one
cool
of those
anime
what?
Things in it.
One of those.
Do you not know
up?
About this? Oh no, because you don't watch anime ever.
No, I don't.
Okay, so in the Japanese future, they have tiny little pill capsules, and you throw them on the ground.
Boof.
And they turn into I don't know, like vehicles.
I had a dream about
giant
that.
Robots.
I had a dream about that, and I was okay. I was speeding. I was on the road. I was driving my car, and I was speeding, and I was gonna get caught because there were some police. So I got out of the car and I put it in my pocket. And then when the police came by,
you put the car in your pocket.
Yeah, I put the car. I got out of the car, and then I put it in my pocket. And then when the police came by, I kind of acted nonchalant.
Oh, yes.
And hoped that they wouldn't notice that I had put my car in my pocket.
That's
David,
awesome.
That wasn't a dream. I'm just kidding. It totally was.
Hey. Okay.
All right. Reader mail.
Reader
Let's
mail.
Continue.
Part
okay.
two.
I need your urgent reply confidential, please.
This
from
is
the
an
desk
email.
Of Mr. Maxwell Adama, Auditing and Accounting Manager, Bank of Africa, BOA, Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
Dear friend, I am the manager of Auditing and Accounting Department of Bank of Africa, here in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. In my department, we discovered an abandoned sum of $20,500,000 in an account that belongs to one of our foreign customer, Mr. Andreas Schraner from Munich, Germany, who died along with his entire family in July 2000 in a plane crash. Yes. So...
that?
He wants to give us $20,500,000 US dollars.
What? And it's in all. It's written in all caps, I assume.
It is written in all caps, yes. Well, yes. Bits of it are.
And million is spelled with one L.
Million. I don't know. I mean, if
how
we
much
respond,
is a million?
If we respond to this phishing scam, do you think they'll get us off the island?
Maybe.
It's worth a shot.
We'll look into this. And then we have
Let's
two more pieces
that.
Of reader mail.
Yes. Reader mail, part three. This email comes to us from a mysterious source.
Ha.
Let me read it. Hello. I heard on my radio, I have nothing else to do today, you might be getting off the island. Can I have your radio program? Don Imus.
Oh.
So, there's some
Thanks,
current
Don.
Events for you.
I don't think so. Sorry.
Yeah. listen, I mean, if you find us, if you come to the island, you're welcome to trade places with us. But
no,
I...
there's a lot of racial tension on this island that I don't want to open up.
I'm saying we do a fine job of
He would probably make fun of the gnomish basketball team and then forget it.
Oh, I was worried more about the dinosaur basketball
team.
You know
also...
how the Rutgers women tore him to shreds? The dinosaurs would actually rip the flesh from his body.
Right. With
my
their
concern
terrible
is...
raptor claws.
Yes. My concern is with the Finches, Darwin's Finches basketball team.
Yeah, someday we're gonna have to go to one of those games.
Yeah, cover that.
Yeah, I hear the Finches are playing the gnomes next week, and then I think the week after that. The dinosaurs are playing the winner of that match.
Yeah, it's too bad there's only three teams on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad none of us have any athletic aptitude at all, except for Alex.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
except for Alex.
I feel like I wouldn't want to play basketball against dinosaurs.
I'm atrophying.
I feel okay about gnomes and finches, though.
Alex is a champion fencer and a fly fisher.
That's a bit of an overstatement.
And
a fly
And a curler.
Wait,
champion Swedish curler.
No.
Okay, one last piece of reader mail, and then we're
right.
going into another song.
Let's have it.
Here we are. After much research, I have determined why you three have not been rescued. All attempts to triangulate your position have failed, even though you broadcast from the same place in the same time. Your island does not exist in our normal dimensional space, as evidenced by the fact that you have dinosaurs still roaming on your island. Therefore, you are in a space-time wormhole, which allows us to communicate with you by email, Google Talk, and AIM, and receive your radio transmissions. But because of the bending of the electromagnetic wavelengths, no location can be pinpointed for you. I estimate that it will take me at least 3.1 years to build a rescue chamber that can return you to normal space. Don't despair. I will continue to work on this. The Eagle Eye.
What?
I don't know.
Is that a superhero or something?
I'm not sure. Are we outside of normal dimensional space? Alex, ask the dinosaurs how they evaded their catastrophic destruction.
Let's do some research.
I will ask them in dinosaur speak.
Don't they speak English?
Well, I mean, when you see them.
Yeah.
But it translates differently.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you can probably talk to a French person in English if they've
just
learned English.
No, you can talk to a French person if you speak English really loudly.
Oh, right.
Hello there, French man. I am an American. Can I buy a baguette somewhere at your pâtisserie?
Right. What I'm saying is the dinosaurs are clearly bilingual.
That's true.
Clearly.
They have
multiple They probably
tongues.
Know like 3,000.
Okay. I want to play.
Like
I want to play.
Back to music.
Yeah, I want to play some Jethro Tull. And David and I have arguments about whether or not which version of the song is better.
Alex and I just had an ET moment.
We had an intimate, extraterrestrial moment.
Yes.
What
yes,
I
yes,
mean
yes.
is we touched fingers. Okay.
I want to play Fat Man off of Stand Up because
okay.
I think that Fat Man off of Stand Up is better than Fat Man off of Aqualung.
And I much prefer Fat Man off of Aqualung. So,
well,
but David's in charge today,
yeah,
so
thanks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So
I'm just gonna sit.
Let's hear
back
that.
And
All
relax
right, let's.
And enjoy.
Okay, Fat Man.
Mm-hmm. don't want to be a fat man. People would think that I was just good fun. Would rather be a thin man. I am so glad to go on being one. Too much to carry around with you. No chance of finding a woman who will love you in the morning and all the night time too. To ignore all that, hate to admit to myself, I thought my problems came from being fat. Won't waste my time feeling sorry for him. I see the other side to being thin. Roll us both down.
I still like that version.
I just think it sounds more vibrant than the other one.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like Fat Man off of the Aqualung album is a little, I don't know, dry?
Really?
Yeah.
I feel exactly the opposite. I feel like it has more snap to it.
Oh, okay.
That's
weird.
It appears
we're at an impasse.
Indeed, sir. Indeed.
And we shall solve this by having Alex read us a public service announcement.
It shall be solved.
All right. Ooh. Awesome. Sounds like a good solution to me.
Who'd have thought a cup of coffee can prevent crime? Pour some for neighbors and your local police officer, then talk about potential problems you see on your street. And go to ncpc.org for more tips. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
I love justice.
I love justice more than you love justice.
No fighting. No fighting, or one of you is going to be in a timeout.
Be in a timeout. Leave me alone.
Ah! Oh,
hey, ghost.
Oh, it's a
what?
Woman.
It's a lady ghost.
Hi. I'm the ghost of Detectives Past.
Ooh, it's a femme fatale ghost.
Hi. What are you doing here?
That's the slinkiest ghost I've ever seen.
Yeah. What? What do you have to tell us, ghost?
Yeah, why don't you tell us stuff, ghost?
Well,
yeah.
I have a few stories for you, if you don't mind listening.
I don't mind.
Yeah,
give
sure.
I don't mind.
No, I don't mind. No, I don't mind.
Well, fine, I guess so. All right, well, why don't you sit down right over here by me, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Sounds good to me.
Wait, oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. What kind of stories?
Detective stories, silly.
Oh.
Just like in the old days.
You sure got chastised, David. Didn't he get chastised, Alex? Let's listen.
Okay.
Yeah, let's listen.
Yeah, ghost.
And now, the thrilling adventures of Murlock Bones, deductive genius and private investigator for hire. Once an aspiring chemist, Bones was killed in his prime by a mysterious assailant. Now, rising from his grave, his tortured spirit cannot rest until he solves the mystery of his own murder. In the meantime, however, Murlock is content to have opened his own investigatory service, using his unique skills and complete lack of skin and muscle to solve crimes. We now take you to his study, where Murloc sits before a steady fire, writing his diary.
Raining again. My new assistant is set to come in this morning. He seemed promising in the interview. He didn't seem terribly put off at my appearance, which is always a good sign. He certainly seemed a decent sort. And were I still able to smell, I would probably have sensed some sort of pomade in his hair, placing him in a class just above the criminal element. This will be useful. He should be due in any minute. Come in.
Mr. Bond, sir.
Ah, Fenris McDougal. Do come in.
Oh, thank you, sir. 'Tis better cold than wet outside.
As though I could tell, Mr. McDougal. I can't feel a blasted thing, you know. Here, give me your coat and I'll get you a cup of hot tea.
Thank you, sir. When shall we begin?
Well, sir, I dare say we shall begin right off with a bit of a forensic experiment. Here's your tea.
Thank you.
That will help us discover the identity of a fiendish murderer.
Sir.
Yes, the murder to which I refer is that of Miss Millie Mountebank, the actress.
Read about it in the papers, I did. Grisly stuff.
Indeed. 3 knife wounds to the calf, 2 on her ankles, and 1 higher up on her thigh, hitting her femoral artery. She was assaulted outside the theater after a performance, collapsed, and bled to death.
Didn't she cry out for help?
When Scotland Yard arrived, they found her with a gag in her mouth. And they found this.
A piece of fabric, sir.
Yes, a piece of her dress, with a mysterious white powder on it.
Curious, Mr. Bones.
Now, lacking a nose and not wishing to submit you to a sniff test of evidence on your first day, I think the best way to identify this powder is with some old-fashioned chemical analysis. So, if you please, sir, help me move this apparatus over here. Thank you.
What a brilliant setup, Mr. Bones. It's so complex.
Thank you. I built it myself.
Do you have any clues other than the bit of powder, Mr. Bones?
Not yet, but my intuition tells me something will emerge.
Your intuition, sir?
Yes, Mr. McDougal. A detective has no greater tool, sir. With intuition and deductive logic, a man can solve anything at all.
Oh, and what have you deduced of me?
Your favorite fruit is the damson plum. You eat them dried over granola every morning.
Thus,
when you put your boots on this morning, you put the left one on first. And you take your morning tea with clotted cream.
How could you possibly know all that?
You've got purple stains on your left hand, and only the damson plum leaves that exact kind of stain. Now, if you've got them on your left hand, that means you held your spoon in your left hand, and thus you put on your left boot first.
But how did you know to put clotted cream in my tea?
You've got some on your beard.
Oh, how embarrassing.
And our analysis is done.
It is indeed, sir. What have you found?
Mr. McDougal, this mysterious white powder is, as I suspected, talcum.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, and from the size and shape of the individual grains, I can tell you precisely at which London plant it was produced. Bet your coat, Mr. McDougal. We're going for a stroll.
So this is where they make talcum powder.
Yes, see? They take blocks of talc and grind them under those millstones with cornmeal to create baby powder.
Fascinating.
Now remember, McDougal. Disguised as we are, no one will ever see through our deceit. As long as we pretend to be Frenchmen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hello, sirs. Can I help you at all?
Oui, monsieur. We have come to inspect your records. We are, auditors, my partner and I.
In the interest of corporate and ethical transparency, we ask you to open your ledgers.
Yes.
Oh, well, anything for the French, I guess. Come on in.
Thank you, sir. That will be all.
Very well, gentlemen. Take your time. The ledger's right there.
Ah, yes. This will do quite nicely.
What does it say, Mr. Bones?
By my desiccated osseous tissue, McDougal, it's damning evidence that points us in the direction of the killer.
What do you mean, sir?
Why, most of this talcum is sold to pharmaceutical companies and cosmetic groups. They use the powder as a fixative. But this plant also sells to private buyers. And from the looks of this ledger, to one in particular.
Who is it, Mr. Bones?
Why, none other than Colonel Kensington, the Louis XIV of crime.
You don't mean...
I do. The dreaded Colonel Baby. From a young age, the Colonel knew he was destined for a life of science. After a lifetime of study and distinguished military service, he succeeded in creating the Elixir Vitae, the Philosopher's Stone, the potion of eternal life. But he consumed too much of it, It restored his youth, but left him in the form of an infant for eternity. Now, bitter at his shape, he bends his awesome intellect towards horrific criminal activity.
Indeed, Mr. Bones.
Colonel Baby!
Yes, Bones, it is I, your dreaded nemesis. When I heard you were on the case, I tightened security around my favorite haunts. And now I have you.
But how could you see through our brilliant disguises?
Only Bones would be so bold as to pretend to be French. The only French investors in this firm are personal friends of mine. And so I was forced to deduct that it was you, Bones, and your new assistant. Henchmen, seize them!
You do realize that you're admitting your guilt, don't you? You've come to stop us from finding you out, but in so doing, you're damning yourself.
Of course he is, MacDougall. But he doesn't expect us to survive this encounter. Do you, Colonel?
I don't, Bones. That is why I can admit freely to all present that yes, yes, I killed Mrs. Mountebank. She was once my lover, but after my transformation, she left me for dead and married another man. I offered her life eternal, and she rebuffed my advances. So I killed her, and I regret nothing.
And what do you intend to do, you fiend?
You cannot scare us. Mr. Bones has no nervous system.
I intend to use this facility, so I want to be purposed to soothe the tender bottoms of small children, to crush your puny bodies into nothing. Hurry, men! Bring them to the grinding mill! Winch them up and dangle them over the millstones!
You're a monster!
I'm a baby!
You'll never get away with this, you scoundrel!
Oh, but it looks like I have. Isn't that right, Moloch Bones?
It'd certainly seem that way, wouldn't it?
How can you be so calm at the moment of your undoing? Don't you realize you're about to die? Again? And you there, for the first time.
Ignore him, MacDougall. I've discovered a structural flaw in this winch system. Shift your weight to the left.
Very well, but why, sir?
I can tell by the grease stains on this hempen rope that the pulley by which we are suspended is a Winchester model 37AA, which means that its ball bearings only handle a compressive stress of 562 newtons per millimeter square, which means that if we swing our bodies in such a fashion as to describe a circle with a radius of 1.6 meters, we can shatter the ball bearings and break free with our limber forms intact.
Brilliant, sir.
Wait! What are you doing? You may have landed on me, Bones, but I'm okay. Henchman, do something!
Now hold on, henchman. I can logically deduce that you have a deeply rooted psychological trauma. Clearly, you need to attach yourselves to a higher authority due to childhood parental abandonment issues. Timeouts for all of you. I am very disappointed.
He's right. He's so right.
He's so right. He's so right.
So
now, Colonel Baby, it's off to Scotland Yard with you.
No, not that place. No!
That was a fine first day at work indeed.
I'll say, MacDougall. You may expect every day to be similarly action-packed. Now let us retire to the parlor, where we may abuse prescription medicines.
So what did you think?
That was some story.
It sure is a riveting story.
Yeah, no, I'm riveted. I'm
oh yeah, riveted.
David, get a hold of yourself.
Rivets.
Well, do you mind if I just hang out for a while?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's okay. You can stay here.
We've got an extra chair.
Yeah, fine. Just sit down.
Thanks. There. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, what happens next?
Next,
we talk about where we are, what the station is.
You're listening to KWUR 90.3 FM, Clayton. St. Louis Underground Radio.
Yes, yes, we are.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And yeah, you can also listen online at www.kwer.com as well.
Yeah.
In addition.
And send us an email. Email is good.
Email.
newsworthyghost@gmail.com or visit our website, http://www.newsworthyghost.wordpress.com.
Yep, yep. Don't
yeah,
look
maybe,
at,
maybe
don't
you
look
could
at the
leave and
don't
just go
look
check
at the
that
ghost.
Out right now.
Don't look at the ghost. Don't look.
Well, thanks for letting me hang around.
Yes,
gentlemen.
Of course.
Yes. So we're going to play a little bit more music. And I wanna
Let's play music.
I want to play some Cab Calloway.
Okay. That
all right.
Exciting.
That sounds good.
We've played him before on the show, but it's been a while, and I wanted to play one of my favorite tracks from him. It's called "Are You Hep to the Jive." It's from
the Depression era,
and Cab Calloway was really instrumental in introducing a lot of the a lot of this lingo to the white mainstream.
Cool.
So
sounds good.
Let's give it a listen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you full of pep?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you heppa heppa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you full of stepper? What do you know, Gate? Are you in the know or are you a solid bringer down? Listen here, Jack. Take it slow and you can learn just what I mean. Are you hep to the jive?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you hep to the jive? Are you hep, are you hep, are you keeping in step? Are you hep to the jive? Do you lace your boots high? Are you fly or you fly? Do you dig, do you dig, do you swing on a gig? Are you hep to the jive? Do you get in the groove? Does the beat make you move? Do you send yourself jack and then trilly on back again, though that it's smooth? Oh, are you hep to the jive? Are you hep to the jive? Are you hep, are you hep, are you keeping in step? Are you hep to the jive? Dig, 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 dig the jive. Are you hep, are you hep? Are you really in step? Are you hep to the jive?
That was Shibomato. I just had a stunned expression on my face.
It's true.
For the entire time they were talking. That was Shibomato. With a song called Spoon from their album Pom Pom, the essential Shibomato. And before that, of course, you heard Cab Calloway with Are You Hep to the Jive?
Yes, yes.
I am indeed. I liked that song.
Me too.
It was happy. Happy song.
I am hep.
Happy times. Happy song. Okay.
I'm hep to the spoon.
I'm hep to the spoon.
Good one, guys. Okay, I'm gonna read a public service announcement.
Yes.
Nice.
As a dad, you probably taught your son how to hit a baseball, but have you taught him what not to hit? Teach him early that all violence against women is wrong. For tips, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, and the Ad Council.
Don't hit people, men of the world.
You'll be put in a timeout.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that concise explanation of our justice system.
Oh, I'm laughing at myself.
I think it was in a Billy Crystal stand-up thing. Whenever you say the phrase judicial system, you can't help but sound like you're drunk. So everyone try and say judicial system.
Judicial system?
You see him passion. It's just like the judicial system.
Okay, no.
I don't think
Billy Crystal was right.
Oh.
I think it's a very funny word to
judicial
say.
Judicial system.
Judicialism.
Okay.
Right. Sorry for that.
This is all very interesting.
Oh,
guys,
yes, Ghost. It is very interesting.
I have another story for you.
Really?
Now, great. Another story.
Yeah. Oh, what kind of story is this one?
Well, it's another detective story.
Ooh, another detective story.
I'm starring in this one.
Really?
This is a story from my past.
Exciting.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's tell the story and then you can leave. Fine. The fat man was dead. When they found him, he had more holes in him than a pine cone full of bees. I never liked him much, but he was my partner, so that's something. With Houston gone, it was only me and the secretary, Jonah. Jonah called me that morning, said I had a visitor.
Miss St. Clair?
Yeah.
Got a visitor.
Send him in. He was small and sallow. Sort of like a candle made of animal fat, or a cardboard box full of cannolis. He was dressed in a fine gray charcoal suit that looked more expensive than a Bombay chicken made of sapphires. What do you want?
You are Aunt Miss St. Clair, yes?
Yes.
You are a private investigator, yes?
Yes.
I am Mr. Thebes. I require your services. There is an object that is very important to me. I need you to find it.
He had a sort of dulled intensity, like a spoon made of butter. What is this object, Mr. Thebes?
It is a statuette, an Incan work of unsurpassed value. A wombat of solid 24-karat gold. They call it the Andean Wombat. I will reward you handsomely to fetch it for me.
The offer seemed good, so I took it. I took it like a bear takes a treadmill. With Houston gone, cases were few and far between.
I have reason to believe that the wombat is in the possession of one Mr. Parvalescu. He has it in a safe deposit box somewhere. I need it very badly. I need for you to find that safe deposit box and bring the wombat to me.
Maybe it was stealing. I didn't care. I was as used to stealing as a starfish is used to paying for groceries and wampum. I'll do it, Mr. Thebes. But I'll need some money up front. Operating expenses. You understand.
How about $300?
Yeah, that works. I followed up on the leads Mr. Thebes gave me. A pair of broken spectacles and an envelope with the address of the Hotel Perdido. I made my way there and sashayed up to the desk clerk.
Can I help you?
Yes.
Who are you looking for? Are you looking for someone?
He was short and sweating like a chia pet in a Moldovan prison. I'm looking for Constantine Parvulescu.
Let me check the room. Room 109, miss.
Is he in?
Yes! Yes, he is, yes.
I had reduced him to a sniveling pulp, a bowl full of kittens rolled in moistened cornstarch. I made my way up to the room and knocked three times.
Come in.
It's you!
It was Artemis St. Clair, my old partner.
It was Houston, the partner I'd taken for dead, and he was encroaching on my interior monologue.
This was my interior monologue. I don't know what you're trying to pull, Missy, but...
At any rate, it was getting confusing. More confusing than a poodle dipped in pudding.
Your analogies never even made sense.
That doesn't matter. What are you doing here, Houston? I'm looking for Constantine Parvulescu.
It seems you've found him, Artemis. I am Constantine Parvulescu. And Wensleydale Houston. And on Fridays and bank holidays, I'm a dance hall barmaid named Daisy. But that's not important right now. I assume you've come for the wombat.
Yes. Yes, I have, Wensleydale.
I knew thieves would send someone eventually, but I didn't expect you to show up. You see, thieves would do anything to get the wombat from me. I had to fake my own death in order to allay suspicion that I possessed the thing. Apparently, it didn't fool him.
You're right, fat man. It didn't fool me for a second. And now your former partner has lured me right to you.
Ah, thieves. Popping out of the shadows to point a gun at me. How typically underhanded. How vile. How expected. Didn't you think I'd prepared for this contingency?
Well, no, I was hoping you hadn't.
Well, I did. I happen to have the Andean wombat right here in my possession. If you shoot me, I will throw it out of the window, where it will be certain to be dented very seriously.
No, no, you wouldn't dare.
I would, Thebes. I certainly...
No, you wouldn't, Parvulescu. You were always too fat to move quickly, especially in grade school, when we were gym partners. You lost that three-legged race for us so long ago on that fateful field day. Now, it comes full circle, Parvulescu. Now I have revenge for that awful day of shame. Now I have the Andean wombat. Isn't it beautiful, Miss St. Clair?
You just murdered my partner. What do you expect me to say?
I don't know. Isn't it pretty and stuff?
Yes, but my partner... Oh, well, he was dead and fat anyway. Aren't you going to pay me?
I'll tell you something, Miss St. Clair. I never pay for anything I don't have to.
He was pointing that gun at me in an awfully threatening way, like a carnival plushie made of Tabasco sauce.
I've already left one body here, so two won't be much of a stretch. Prepare to... No! I dropped the wombat! Wait a second. That's not gold. That's gold foil, and it's covering... chocolate! No!
His momentary distraction allowed me to draw my gun, like a panther in Spain. Happy Easter, mother f***er. I wrapped the wombat in newspaper. The fat man's papers revealed the location of the true wombat. I hocked it and took the chocolate one home. It turned out to be delicious. Jonah and I ate it with a pint of Ben & Jerry's all-natural Vermont ice cream. Available in your local grocery store's freezer section or at a Ben & Jerry's near you. Admit, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you must be the famous Artemis St. Clair.
Indeed.
I am. You've heard of me.
Well, just now.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, hey.
Thanks.
That's still pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yes. Pretty cool.
Okay, Ghost, I think maybe it's time that you left. Fine, I can tell when I'm not wanted.
Okay. Well,
you're
goodbye.
Welcome to come back later, though.
Goodbye, Artemis St. Clair / the Ghost of Detectives Past.
Yes.
Goodbye. I'll come back and visit.
It's been fun.
It has been fun.
Oh, I thought she would never leave. You guys looked like drooling balls of.
See?
I don't even know.
See, you can't.
I can't come up with a good analogy.
You can't make similes.
Why don't you just
like
do
Artemis
it like her?
St. Clair.
Okay. We were drooling like Jigglypuffs turned into chandeliers.
I don't feel like that really applies here.
It's funny, though.
Don't
tell
right,
me that's
David.
Not funny.
We just referenced a Pokemon.
The Pokemon.
Yes.
Okay.
The
my
Pokemons.
Let me show you them.
Let me show you my Pokemons. Anyways. All right. Well, that was pretty entertaining stories. Not going to lie.
I think
I
so.
Agree.
I like that ghost.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
You think she's hotter than me?
No.
No,
Alex,
of course not. No. She's dead.
She's very dead.
Well,
we would never hang out with a dead person and not a live person.
Well, okay. No, I mean, no, absolutely not.
Here's your back scratcher.
Thanks.
Scratch your fur. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Good girl.
Oh, there goes my leg.
Oh, okay, calm down, guys.
Spot, David.
Calm down. Calm down.
Okay. I've had that itch on my back for weeks now.
It's time for a band called Casper and the Cookies.
We cool, Alex? We cool?
We're cool, David.
Okay.
We cool.
It's time to listen to them.
All right.
We're going to listen...
Casper and the Cookies.
Yeah. We're going to listen to a song called Hey, Mr. Superstar. And this is off their album, The Optimists Club.
Is that addressed to me?
Yes.
I want a cookie.
It is.
No cookies for Alex.
He types every word that I say.
Casper and
once
the
again, yes, Casper and the Cookies.
And once again, I want a cookie.
With, hey, Mr. Superstar.
Dad, send me a cookie. Thanks.
Send
in
us
a barrel.
Superstar.
Send me cookies in a barrel. Send me a superstar. Where did that come from?
Molly Shannon. That was Molly
Shannon. Yes, I realize that, but why did you think of that?
Because of the word superstar.
Yeah, but why did you think of the word superstar?
It was the name of the last song.
Yeah.
Where have I been?
Were you paying attention?
I don't know. Do you even remember what I look like?
Wait a minute. Where am I? Oh. Who are you guys? Who are you?
I can't even talk to you anymore.
Oh,
Alex
what? He
has
ran away.
Amnesia.
He's mad at me. I have the island madness.
You've got the island madness.
Don't yell. Don't yell at me.
Okay. No, yelling is bad. So next up, we're going to listen to...
Kings of Leon.
Yes, Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
We're going to listen...
I picked that one out.
...to Charmer.
Thanks.
Alex picked this out.
Yeah.
Good for you, Alex. Whatever.
Oh, David's still mad. David, come on. Don't be mad. Come
no,
on.
I'm mad.
Okay. Come on. Calm down. Calm down.
Like that. No. That is ending for
okay.
us.
So
that's what happens when you pull a CD out of the maybe that track was waterlogged.
Maybe
from
I,
us being shipwrecked with it.
I'm not such a fan. I am sorry.
I'm sorry, Alex. I know you like the Kings of Leon.
No, it's
but
okay.
You haven't heard that track before.
That is true. Hey, what well, you know, we're pressed for time. We gotta
oh. Let us never speak of this again. I mean,
sounds
your
like a
dinosaur
cat.
Noise
no,
sounds
sounds like a cat getting thrown off.
yeah. I've heard that sound. Amazing.
Okay. So.
Apologies
is,
for that,
it
listeners.
It is time for us to go.
Let's get out of here. That was embarrassing.
I'd like to
leave.
Play some music by the Seatbelts, Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts.
Sounds good.
Fabulous, fabulous soundtrack to Cowboy Bebop. Fantastic jazz by the Seatbelts, and this song is called Rush. So, we're going to go out on that, and we'll see you next week. I'm David Reinstrom.
I'm David Brunel Bruttman.
I'm Alex Jensen.
No, and you're
this is,
not.
This is Newsworthy
you're
Ghost
right.
Island.
I'm not. No, I am.
Now you are.
No, she's not.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
much activity gives him awful diaper rash. Thus, the talcum powder. Okay, voice decision.
Voice decision. Alex doing her baby voice?
Do you want to do the baby voice?
Yes, Bones, it is I, your dreaded nemesis. When I heard you were on the case, I tightened security around my favorite haunts. And now I have you.
David tried in
your
Vader voice.
Pretty good. Okay, it's either that or Vader.
See, I think that... Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Bones, it is I, your dreaded nemesis. When I heard you were on the case, I tightened security around my favorite haunts. Oh. And now I have you. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Lack of baby food disturbing.
I think I have to... That might be... I showed you the...
Should we change the number?
Oh, so nerdy.
Because I kind of like the idea of it not being very much at all. But I mean,
you're a ghost.
Well, he's a skeleton. A human skeleton weighs about 30 pounds, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but there are two of them tied together.
There are two of them tied together. No, a grown Scotsman.
A grown Scotsman.
No, you must remember.
Are we recording this?
Yes. You must remember.
Yes.
Since they are classed as a martial race by the English, the Scotsmen, of course, are much huger and much weightier than the average Englishman. So you have to add at least, I don't know, five strength points.
Five Scots points.
Scots points.